ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम सदा शिव समारंभं व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तं वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांतिः। प्रज्ञानांशु प्रतानै स्थिरचर निकर व्यापिभिर्व्याप्य लोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्टान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुं मायया भोजयन्नो माया संख्यातुरीयं परममृतमजं ब्रह्म यत्तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् समति विभवान् ज्योतिषस्वेन रूप सूक्ष्मान् सर्वानेतान् पुनरपि शनै स्वात्मनि स्थापयित्वा हित्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् विगत गुणगणः पात्वसौ नस्तुरीयः Before beginning to commenting upon each word of the mantra, Shankara Bhagavad Pada, to show the uniqueness of this mantra, that how this mantra, by using the method of negation, serves as a means of knowledge. This mantra's uniqueness is that using the method of negation, it serves as a means of knowledge. Which means, removal of the superimpositions upon the Atma itself is revealing the object, object coming to light. So resolution of ignorance of the object, vastu, itself is object being brought to light. Negation of the rope, with reference to rope rope snake example. Rope is not newly brought there. Rope is already there as the real one. What is not there is the snake. So the removal of the negation of rope as non-real itself is arriving at the rope being the reality. So here, in this context, it's very important to understand, whenever any confusion is there with reference to any object, to understand this here, definitely this, we involve this method of differentiating, distinguishing. Viveka Karanam. Viveka Karanam means using the differentiation. So having the time to understand discriminatively what is. So this indiscriminative understanding, discriminative knowledge can be of two things which are of equal status. Two objects which belong to the same order of reality. So Viveka Karanam or Vivekaha, discriminative knowledge, can be of two things which are of the same order of reality. Which means both the objects or both things must be there independently. For example, there is a rope, really. There is also another wire. This is wire, this is rope. And both belong to the same order of reality. How do we say? Rope is not dependent on the wire for its existence. Wire is not dependent on the rope for its existence. Rope can be rope by itself without having wire around. Wire can be wire without the rope. So they both belong to the same order of reality, objectively real things. So Viveka can be of two things which are of the same order of reality. Otherwise, Viveka Karanam, discriminative knowledge, also can be of two things, of which one is real, one is unreal. When you see in the night, when you walk in the garden, you happen to come out of the room and walk in the ashram garden, you see a stump of tree, because there are many some stumps stand here. You mistake one for a man. So there, what is really there is stump of a tree. There's no man. Only one object is there. But that one, the thief, the man, thief man, is superimposed upon the stump of a tree. The superimposition happens. So what happens? The vehicle stump cognition, the thief cognition resolves. This is also Viveka Karanam. So discriminative knowledge can be of two things of which one is real, one is not real. The two orders of reality. So like this here also. Where Atma Vastu is one. Atma is one. Only reality. But everything other than the Atma is not real. But here super, everything anatma is superimposed upon the Atma. Therefore here the negation is of the superimpositions of the false attributes upon the Atma. That itself is enough for the object to come to light. Again here, what he wants to make it very we were to see in the following Bhashyam. Before we enter there, I want to present this. This Vishwa status, Vishwa is Vishwaha. Vishwaha, Vekar, is an attribute belonging to the Ahankara or mind. So also dreamer attribute belongs to the is an attribute belonging to the mind. So also sleeper is an attribute belonging to the Ahankara, which doesn't experience duality. Whereas waker and dreamer associated with duality, the world of duality, whereas dreamer, sleeper experiencer is associated with the non-dual experience. That's the difference. But anyway, all these three are attributes, Vishvaha, Tajasaha, Pragyaha, are attributes of the mind, Ahankara, but they are falsely superimposed upon the Atma. Because of the ignorance of what Atma is, and what, there's no discriminative understanding of what Atma is, what Atma is not. And we already understood, because of the nature of subtleness of the Atma, definitely Atma has to be added only through the method of negation. Understood that. And here, one more aspect we have to remember is, Jivaha itself is a status erroneously attributed to the Atma. So Ishvaraha is also a qualification attributed to the Atma, the all-pervasive only reality Atma. So these both qualifications are mithya. Jiva attribute is also mithya. Ishvara status also is mithya. Really speaking, the only Turiya Atma alone is given these two qualifications as Ishvara and Jiva. Then, if Atma alone is there as the Jiva, Atma is there as Ishvara means, what causes this superimposition? Why? It is because of the upadis in the form of body, mind, sense complex. Body, mind and sense organs. Here, this Jiva has this limitation. Therefore, all knowledge is already there. What is there in Ishvara is there in the part of Jiva also. Ishvara and Jiva are essentially one and the same. What is the difference here? Jiva has the partial knowledge and partial ignorance. Whereas Ishvara has total knowledge. Ishvara always is endowed with total power of knowledge. The total power of knowledge unmanifested condition is Maya. So Ishvara is Maya, is also with total power of knowing in potential condition. The total power of knowing Maya, when becomes manifested, also this total power of total power of knowledge. So there is Purna Jnana Shakti. Ishvara, before the manifestation, Ishvara is endowed with the Maya, which is nothing but unmanifested total power of knowing. The total power of knowing manifested is the Jagat, subtle and gross universes. So Ishvara is always with total power of knowledge, either in unmanifested condition or in manifested condition as the universe. That is why the whole universe is manifestation of the total power of Ishvara. And Maya is the unmanifested total power of Ishvara. So this Ishvara is never, Ishvara doesn't have any ignorance. Ishvara doesn't have any ignorance. It has only total, that's why Ishvara is said to be Sarvajnaha, which means all knowledge of all objects of all the worlds is already there as Maya, later as the worlds. There's no such thing called ignorance on the part of Ishvara. There's no vritti. Ajnanam is a vritti, jnanam is a vritti, there's no ajnanam on the part of Ishvara. So, technically, in Tarka Shastram, ajnanam is said to be jnana vritti pratiyogi. Technically, in Tarka Shastra, ignorance is said to be enemy of ignorance, knowledge. Enemy of knowledge. Jnana vritti. Or can say vritti jnana pratiyogi. Vritti jnana pratiyogi. What is vritti? Ignorance is said to be the enemy of vritti jnanam. Vritti jnana pratiyogi is ajnanam. So Ishvara does not have vritti jnana pratiyogi. Ishvara has no ignorance. Because Ishvara is always sarvajna, sarvashaktiman. Whereas Jiva, also the same Atma, essentially, but Jiva, because of these upadis, Ishvara has this ajnana vritti. Half knowledge and half, the vritti rises because of the upadis. Half knowledge being there, half ignorance being there. So there is a Jiva has this vritti jnana pratyogi known as ignorance. Therefore, all what is to be understood by this is all knowledge is already there, which means no knowledge needs to be, no knowledge can be created. That's why we see this example. In discovering the rope, the negation of the superimposition of the snake does not bring new rope. It only brings to light the rope which is already there. So this is the main aim of Agada Acharya in this whole Bhashyam we are going to see. Very important, subtle teaching. So knowledge is already there. All sorts of knowledge is Atma. And all knowledge of everything is already there. No knowledge can be created newly. All that the Pramanam can do. Then what does the Pramanam do? Pramanam does not create the knowledge. Pramanam only helps in resolving the ignorance. Pramanam helps only resolving the ignorance. Okay. So whenever any pramanam is operated, two things should happen simultaneously. When any pramanam is operated, two things must have simultaneously. One is the resolution of ignorance, and second is rising of knowledge. Resolution of ignorance and rising of knowledge should happen simultaneously. They are not sequential events. They simultaneously happening process. That's what the pramanam does. Again, pramanam is inert by itself. It always has the blessing of pramatta, because pramatru swarupam is consciousness. The swarupam of pramatta being Turiya Chaitanyam, the consciousness, always the pramanam is inclusive of the consciousness. Therefore, even though the pramanam functions in resolving the ignorance, really speaking, there is atma, consciousness is involved there, indirectly. Anyway, we understand it, let us see here. So, this pramana, when the pramana is operated, two things should rise simultaneously. Here again, we see, when the pramanam is operated, in order to know a given object, the pramanam generates a relevant, appropriate thought pertaining to that object. Suppose if an object called chair has to be known, the appropriate pramanam is used, then the pramanam definitely contributes for the rising of the relevant thought pertaining to that relevant object. It's called vrittihi. The thought is vrittihi. When the thought rises, so the thought, without the rising of the thought, this resolution of ignorance is not possible. So resolution of ignorance is dependent on vrittihi, rising of vritti. Rising of knowledge is dependent on consciousness. Even though it is simultaneous process, resolution of ignorance and rising of knowledge is a process happening simultaneously. Still, resolution of ignorance is dependent on rising of vritti, and revealing of the object is dependent on consciousness. So when the vritti rises, the vritti pervades the object. And the object being pervaded by vritti is said to be vritti vyaptihi. And vritti vyapti itself is said to be resolution of ignorance. Then consciousness, which is already there, always there, illumines the object in the thought form. So then thought comes to light, which is knowledge of the object. Knowledge of the object. Therefore, knowledge is, this is knowledge of any object is only one thing, the resolution of ignorance and rising of knowledge do not involve two different processes. One does not need to make efforts two times for the result, resolving the ignorance once and second time to know the object. That is not required. That Shankaracharya wants to make us understand before he starts interpreting the actual mantra. So, to make us understand, he brings in first here Purvamimamsaka's view. What is Purvamimamsaka's view? That is where I stopped. Actually, I 331, I read it, but I stopped. I didn't explain this last class. So he said, in having the discriminative understanding of what rope is not, what rope is itself, the resolution of the snake happens in the rope. That itself is what? Understanding of the rope also. Then having said that, after that he introduces the three lines. First you find Panology's book in 331. Actually, Shankara Bhagavatpada negates this Purvamimamsaka's view. Why he has to talk about it? Before I go there, let me make it very clear. These Purvamimamsakas have their idea. Even the great Kumarala Bhatta, who worked very hard to preserve the Veda Shastram, they do reverence to all that. We have to see. They all accept this fact that Pramanam, definitely operation of Pramanam, results in resolution of ignorance and the rising of knowledge. They do not deny this fact. Operation of Pramanam itself results in the resolution of ignorance and rising of the knowledge. This fact is accepted by them, but they think after the resolution of ignorance, still Pramanam has to be operated for the knowledge to rise. That is their idea. Which means, after the resolution of ignorance, when the object becomes known, the object has some added value. Object has some added value and attribute. In fact, no knowledge can add any attribute to the object known. Our knowledge can just reveal the object, it cannot add any value to the object. This is one point. Again, Mimamsakas are of this view that the knower, known, knowledge are all separate from consciousness. Very important lesson, please listen. Everything can be reduced to three things. We can say, first we said two, knower and the known. Now we include one more word, knower, known, knowledge. Experiencer, experience and the experienced. The whole thing can be reduced, all the T's here can be reduced to three factors, knower, known, knowledge. Or the experiencer, experience and the experienced world. There's no fourth thing. Everything should come under the category of the experienced world. And if at all this we can talk about something other than the experienced world, there's experience of the world. And the experience of the world itself presupposes the experiencer being there. So Purvamimamsaka, according to Purvamimamsaka, the experiencer is different from consciousness. Experience is different from consciousness. Experienced world is different from consciousness. In fact, Shastram says, nothing is different from consciousness. The very fact that because consciousness is non-separate, Atma Nituriya Chaitanyam, is non-separate from the experiencer, experienced, and the experienced world alone. The very erroneous perception itself is because of that. one of the reasons we say. How close it is? Closest to proximity. Atma has the closest proximity. How distancelessly? Just as there's no distance between water and the wave, light and the opaque object, Turiya Chaitanyam and the experiencer has no distance. So experiencer is non-separate. Experience is non-separate. Experienced world also is non-separate from Turiya Chaitanyam. But they are of this view. That they are non-separate from the Atma. Even this adhyasa itself, erroneous perception itself is one of the reasons why erroneous perception is this closest to proximity. Very close, inseparably close. But they think Atma is separate, knower known knowledge or separate from consciousness. So with this view, they already have. So they also think that some process has to happen even after the object comes to light. Something has to happen. So for which Shankara Bhagavatpada gives an example to refute their view. But example, he does not use simple example. It looks very three lines here. Very simple example. He uses example from the Tarka Shastra. Now, Tarka Shastra, to understand his example, to understand few basic things. See, according to Tarka Shastra, any object should have various attributes. Of course, we all accept, Shastra here also it is said, an object must have fulfill certain conditions in terms of jati, guna, jatihi, gunaha, kriya, sambandaha, etc. We do say the five aspects we talk about. But here, according to Tarka Shastra, any object should consist of many attributes. So, according to them, possibly any object should consist of 24 attributes. Chatur Vimshati Gunaha. This is Tarka Shastra's concept, okay? 24 attributes. Any object, every object can consist of 24 gunas, 24 attributes. So many are there. Of those 24 gunas, one attribute is the attribute of association or connection. In Sanskritam, the attribute of association or connection or togetherness is said to be sanyogaha. Sanyogaha, also we can say sambandaha. Sambandaha means relationship also. So sanyogaha or sambandaha. Both words are used by Shankaracharya here and there. That's why I'm giving both words. Mostly sanyogaha is the word. And another attribute is the attribute of separation. Viyogaha. Sanyogaha, viyogaha. Or sambandaha, vibhagaha. Viyogaha, vibhagaha, both words are used to mean separation. Sanyogaha, sambandaha, both words are used to mean association or togetherness. being together, connection. So he says here, if there is a tree, there's one tree, and which has to be cut into two parts. To convert the one tree into two parts, one act of cutting is enough. So separation of two parts itself is an ending of association, ending of togetherness. So one attribute of separation itself brings about the other attribute of the ends the other attribute of togetherness. Separation results in simultaneously. Separation itself is what? Ending of togetherness. So Vyogaha is nothing but Sanyoga Nashaha. Vyoga is Sanyoga Nashaha. So Sanyoga Nasha happens when there is Vyoga. When there is separation, togetherness ends. Association ends. So one need not do two times to separate one action, to end the association one action. Do we do two? No. To end the association, one action must be done. Again, to separate, one action must be done. No. One act of separating itself destroys, ends the attribute of association. Is it clear? Similarly, he uses that example here. Why he has to say this? Before I tell you this, the lot of things are not mentioned here. We have to understand. He says, apart from the resolution of ignorance itself, knowledge of the object. One does not need to do anything apart from resolving the ignorance, because knowledge is already there. But here, Purivavasaka's question is, the question not really like, explicitly said here, Shankar Bhagavad Pada assumes the question of Purivavasaka and he presents the answer. Okay. With reference to Atma Jnanam, in discovering the Atma, resolution of ignorance itself is attainment of knowledge. We need not make any special efforts because this Atma happens to be the Turi Chaitanyam. Atma is of the nature of self-revealing consciousness. Therefore, when the vritti, when the pramanam is operated in the form of method of negation, naturally the vritti should rise and then the ignorance becomes resolved. Ignorance of the Atma becomes resolved. Because Atma is a nature of self-revealing consciousness, Atma comes to light. It is possible with reference to Atma Jnanam, but in the case of any other object, it is not possible. I mean, resolution of ignorance itself is not enough. Again, pramanam has to be involved. used in rising of the, in having the knowledge. So what he says is, he gives the example of ghata, pot. Suppose the pot has to be understood. Pot, what about the pot? Pot is an object, and here the thought which has to rise, the pot thought has to rise, remove ignorance of the pot. For the knowledge of the pot to rise, pot thought has to rise. And here the thought is also inert, vritti is inert, and the pramanam is also inert. So consciousness is required for the knowledge to rise. So what he says is, yesham punaha, only now I'm reading, tamopanaya vyatirekena, other than the removal of ignorance, tama apanaya vyatirekena, tamopanaya vyatirekena, vyatireka means other than, apart from the removal of ignorance, removal of the darkness which is covering the pot, apart from the removal or removal of the darkness covering the pot, ghata ati adigame, in knowing the pot, pramanam yapriyate, pramanam is used. Which means, he says, again, after resolution of the ignorance also, pramanam has to be used. Actually speaking, you must remember, as soon as the ignorance is resolved, pramanam also disappears. Pramanam will not be there standing. Pramanam's job is only to resolve the ignorance. As soon as the ignorance resolves, pramanam goes away. Pramanam does not do anything. What is that which brings the object to light? The consciousness brings the object to light. Is it? Therefore, no action is required, actually. One, pramanam is operated, ignorance is resolved, nothing needs to be done. Consciousness is all pervasive, timeless, is always there, already there, as a surup of the pramata. So the thought has to rise for the knowledge to happen. See, this light is here always. Imagine. The mic is taken away, the light will show what? Blankness. The mic has to shine, if the mic is brought again in front of the light, mic shines. The mic is kept in the dark room, there mic is covered by darkness. It doesn't shine. In the presence of the light, when the mic is brought, mic light shines. Similarly, consciousness is timeless. Very important lesson. Consciousness is timeless. It is all pervasive. It is always there. Being all pervasive, being timeless, consciousness is very much there as the swarupam of every pramata. Pramata in every mind. Pramata, swarup, very essential nature of pramata appearing in every mind is consciousness. Therefore, the vritti alone has to rise. The timeless consciousness being always there, vritti shines. The form in the object form of a thought shines in the presence of the consciousness. Consciousness is always there. What is not there is the vritti. See, now what is blocking the vritti from rising is the superimpositions. So they had to be removed for the vritti to rise. Jnanam is always there. So here, there's no need for any, the function of the pramanam to bring the object to light. Even any object for that matter, whether ghataha or any object for that matter. So he says, Tesham Chedya Avayava Sambandha Vyoga Vyatirekena Anyatara Avayavepi Chidihi Vyapriyate Ittuktam Sat. When they say, when Purimamasaka says that like this, that even in knowing the part, etc., apart from the resolution of ignorance, apart from the removal of the darkness covering the part, there must also the operation, the pramana must be operated further for the object to come to light. He's saying, is like saying, like chedya avayava sambandha. Sambandha vyoga vyatirekana. Apart from the separation of two parts of the tree which are to be cut. To bring association, to end the association. Again, to end the association, the cutting should be done. Means cutting should be done twice or what? Once cutting itself creates the separation. So bring the end, to bring an end to the end, the association of the two parts, cutting need not be done. One cutting itself brings an end to the association and causes this separation. What he says, it is what they say is like saying, twice it must be cut to bring separation once and to end the association once. No. Ending the association of the two parts and separation of two parts involves only one process of cutting. Similarly here, knowing the object does not involve two processes. Resolution of ignorance itself is attainment of knowledge. Because when the vritti resolves, vritti rises, ignorance is resolved, means the object immediately, consciousness being there already, it brings the object to light. Is it clear? I made clear? Because this is something important portion, as I'm saying. Yada punaha ghata tamasoho viveka karane pravruttam pramanam anupaditsitsita tamo nivritti palavasanam chidihi iva chedya avayava sambandha viveka karane pravrutta tad avayava dvaidi bhava phalavasana tata nantriyakam ghata vijnanam natat pramana phalam. So here he explains. Ghata tamasoho viveka karane pravruttam pramanam. When the means of knowledge is involved in distinguishing, differentiating the part from its ignorance, in knowing the part, when the pramanam is involved, the means of knowledge is engaged in order to know the object called part, then the object part is separated from its ignorance. Then itself, tamo nivritti pala avasanam, simultaneously there happens, it has the benefit of the resolution of removal of ignorance. Ghatatamasoho viveka karane pavruttam pramanam. The means of knowledge is used involved in separating the object part from its ignorance, the veiling ignorance. Then itself, there itself happens the benefit of removal of the unwanted ignorance. Resolute that there happens the benefit of resolving the unwanted ignorance. Anupadisita tamonivritti pala avasanam. Then itself resolution of ignorance happens. Ignorance is not desirable, not wanted. So this unwanted ignorance resolves in itself. So again he says, Chidihi iva chedhi avayava sambandha viveka karane pravrutta. It is like the cutting used in separating the two parts of the tree. How it separates. The cutting, the act of cutting used in separating the two parts of the tree brings end to the association. So also here, this engaging the pramanam itself is enough. Engaging the pramanam itself in separating, in distinguishing the object part from its ignorance results in the benefit, creates the benefit of the resolution of unwanted ignorance. How he gives, it is like the act of cutting. Attribute of sanyoga of the two parts. Therefore, nan tariyakam tad avayava dvaidi bhava phalavasana tatha nan tariyakam ghata vijnanam. So, ghata vijnanam, the part knowledge does not require any other, doesn't have any other, does not require any other further action. Or does not involve the operation of pramanam again. There ends. Natat pramana phalam. It means natat pramana. No other pramanam is required to be operated to have knowledge of the part. All that he says just to make us understand the fact that pramanam operation should result in resolution of the ignorance, which itself is jnanam. The vritti rises, it's enough. Conscious is always there, already there. It brings the vritti jnanam to light. Vritti to light. Vritti is brought to light by consciousness. There happens vritti jnanam. Is the main teaching. Is there any doubt in what I read? This in page number 331, I have read the Bhashyam. Have you understood that? Thank you. Similarly, in page number 332, Nacha. Tadvadapi atmani adhyaropita antapragnyatvadi viveka karane pravruttasya പ്രതിഷേധ വിജ്ഞാന പ്രമാണസ്യ അനുപാദിത അന്തപ്രജ്ഞത്വാദി നിവൃത്തി വ്യതിരേകേണ തുരിയേ വ്യാപാരോപപത്തി. ഇറ്റ്സ് വെരി നൈസ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ്. വിത്ത് റെഫറൻസ് ടു എനി നോളജ് ദിസ് ഇസ് ദി ഫാക്ട് ഇൻക്ലൂഡിംഗ് ദി പാർട്ട്. വാട്ട് കൻ വി സേ ടോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് ദി ആത്മജ്ഞാനം? Atma is already there, there is Swarupam. The uniqueness of this Vedanta Shastram is, Vedanta Shastram operated as Pramanam should generate a specific vritti. The vritti pertaining to the Turiya Chaitanyam. Vritti always is of the object only. That's why we say Atma is not the object of thought, we understand. But here the vritti which rises to reveal the Atma should reveal the Atma as the Swarupam of the subject, Swarupam of the knower. When I say vritti, I mean the thought. All the vrittis, any vritti jnanam is only of the object only. But one special vritti jnanam has to rise to reveal this Atma. Just because vritti jnanam rises here, Atma does not become an object of thought. This vritti has to reveal the Atma being the Swarupam of the subject. തദ്വതപി ആത്മനി അധ്യാരോപിത അന്തഃപ്രജ്ഞത്വാദി വിവേകകരണേ ഇൻ ഡിഫറൻഷിയേറ്റിംഗ് ഡിസ്റ്റിംഗ്വിഷിംഗ് in having a discriminative knowledge of Atma from the superimposition, superimposed false notions. See, Viveka Karanam, the act of discriminating. In discriminating Atma from the falsely superimposed wrong notions, attributes. Now here Pramanam is involved. Patisheda Vijnana Pramanasya. This Pramanam, here this the means of knowledge, or instrument of knowledge, Pramanam, is involved, engaged now, in distinguishing the Atma. Atma and the wrong superimpositions upon the Atma. Atmani adhyaropita antaprajnatvadi vivekakarane pravuttasya. Now what is the purpose of the pramanam now? The pramanam is in the of method of negation. This method of negation, the pramanam, is now engaged in resolving the superimpositions in terms of antaprajna, bahiprajna, etc. They are superimposed upon the Atma. That will be resolved. The main the purpose of the pramanam, the means of knowledge itself, is to resolve these attributes superimposed upon the Atma. Anupaisa antaprajnatvaya nivritti vyatirekena. So other than the elimination, other than the removal of the superimpositions, erroneous superimpositions upon the Atma, it has no other function. Pramanam vyapana cha vyapara upapattihi. There's no other action and a part of the pramanam other than resolving the falsely superimposed attributes upon the Atma. Attributes such as that sleeper, dreamer, waker attributes. So what does the pramanam do here? Pramanam just negates those attributes. The only function on the part of the pramanam is that it resolves the falsely superimposed attributes upon the Atma, in distinguishing the Atma from those attributes. Apart from that, no other action, no other function is there on the part of the pramanam. No other, nothing is required on the part of the Atma also. So here, when the falsely superimposed attributes are negated, then the vritti pertaining to Turiya Chaitanyam rises, which is, and that vritti, here the beauty is, consciousness, the Turiya Chaitanyam, brings to light that cognition, that knowledge. Vritti pertaining to consciousness. Consciousness brings to light the vritti pertaining to consciousness. This is akhandakara vritti. Yeah. That is the only difference. Otherwise, there's no difference between any jnanam and this jnanam. Tadvadapi atmani adhyaropita antaprajnyatvadi vivekakarane pravruttasya pratisheda vijnana pramanasya anupadisita antaprajnyatvadi vrittivyatirekena antaprajnyatvadi nivritti vyatirekena antaprajnyatvadi nivritti. There's a small mistake here, spelling mistake. Those who are following Sanskritam. Antaprajnyatvadi. The short is there. If you're following Sanskritam, you have to make the correction. Nivritti vyatirekena turiye vyapara upapattihi. Na vyapara upapattihi. So what he says in these lines is, pramanam does not have any other function apart from resolving the falsely superimposed attributes, negating false superimposed attributes upon the Atma. When all the falsely superimposed attributes are negated as mithya, they are not removed, mithya, only falsified as mithya. Again, negation should not be mistaken as something absence or non-existent. Negation is understood as, you know, falsifying. When all these attributes are negated as mithya, then what is there is only Turiya Chaitanyam. So the vritti pertinent Turiya Chaitanyam rises. Then the Turiya Chaitanyam is, that vritti does not reveal Turiya Chaitanyam as an object of Turiya Chaitanyam, but as the surupam of the vritti. As the surupam of the vritti, not as an object of vritti. The Atma Jnanam is also vritti Jnanam, like any other knowledge. any other piece of cognition. See, not like any knowledge of any other object. Atmajnanam also is vritti jnanam. It's also manifested knowledge. But still, knowledge of any object is present the object. There's no object is object of knowledge. Whereas this vritti pertaining to Atmajnanam reveals the Atma as the source of the vritti, not as object of vritti. That's one difference. We understand that. Very important lesson. So all these falsely superimposed attributes are not want, not desirable. Because they make the person limited. Therefore, unwanted, undesirable, falsely superimposed attributes upon the Atma become negated as mithya. That is what is the function of the upramanam. Apart from that, other than that, nothing can the pramanam do. After resolving the unwanted, falsely superimposed attributes, pramanam itself resolves. Pramanam will not be there anymore. So nothing can, no activity, no action also is possible with reference to the Atma. That's all. Pramana operated means negation of the false attributes itself is enough. Just the vastu shines, the vritti rises, and the vritti shines in the presence of light of consciousness. Then antapragyatvadi nivritti samakalameva pramatrutvadi bheda nivrittehe. One more important point he says, simultaneously, when the negation of the superimpositions of the false attributes upon the Atma happens, then itself simultaneously, all the differences such as, this, especially this knower, known, knowledge, Triputi Bedaha also resolves simultaneously. Triputi Bedaha also will be resolved. It means duality will become resolved. So negation of the superimpositions of false attributes itself is negation of duality also. Resolution of duality. Negation, it's a resolution of duality. Which means Triputi Bheda also resolves. Knower, known, knowledge, difference also resolves there. Becomes negated simultaneously. Tatha Chavakshyati. Then he, Shankar Bhagavatpada, presents a quotation from Mandukya Upanishad itself. Jnate Dvaitam Navidyate. Jnate Dvaitam Navidyate. When truth is understood, Turiya Atma Chaitanyam is understood, then duality is not there. Duality is there. There's a quotation, Mandukya quotation itself. Mandukya Karika itself is given there. Jnate Dvaitam Navidyate. When the reality is recognized, the self-recognition takes place. Reality is recognized, then no more duality. the cessation of duality happens simultaneously in the wake of the knowledge of the reality. It's again exactly like saying, in the wake of knowledge of the rope, snake disappears in the very rope. Similarly, in the wake of the knowledge of the reality, the perception of duality also resolves. Jnanasya dvaita nivritti kshana vyatirekena. Jnanasya dvaita nivritti kshana vyatirekena kshanantara avasthanat. Again, he says, okay, the knowledge rises, vritti jnanam rises. Does that vritti jnanam stays? Does the vritti jnanam stay? If the vritti jnanam stays, does the vritti jnanam stay? No, the vritti jnanam does not stay. If it stays, what will happen again? There will be duality again. There is a vritti jnanam, atma and knowledge of the atma. There will be again duality. Therefore, that vritti jnanam also has to resolve. Vritti jnanam resolves. So the vritti does its job. Just rises, ignorance resolves. Then immediately that vritti is illumined by consciousness. So vritti goes. Jnanasya dvaita nivritti kshanavyatirekena kshanantara anavasthanat. Vritti jnanam, other than the removal, negation of the duality, other than the negation of duality, vritti does not stay for long. Kshanantara anavasthanat, it does not stay for long. It resolves within a fraction of a second, comes and goes. Avasthanecha. Suppose the vritti continues to be there. What will happen? There will be duality still. And to resolve that duality, another thought has to come. Okay, one thought comes and this resolves. Another thought comes to resolve like this. So there will be continuously new thoughts have to be coming to resolve the other thought. Then it will result in what? Anavastha prasanga. Avasthanecha anavastha prasangat. It will end up in the problem of infinite regression. It will not, it will be a solutionless problem. It will result in the problem of infinite regression. Therefore, the vritti resolves. Not that we are saying simply, that is the nature. Nature of any vritti, vritti jnanam, is to come and go. Vritti jnanam is of the nature of coming and going, departing. It will not stay long. Vritti jnanam comes and goes. It has to go. So here also it happens. Therefore, avasthanecha anavastha prasangat dvaita anivrittihi. Suppose then it is not possible to negate the duality. Duality can be negated, which means there will be problem of infinite regression. Therefore, that problem of infinite regression will not be there. Resolution of dvaitam will be possible because this vritti jnanam, this akhandakara vritti jnanam, brahmakara vritti jnanam will resolve. That's why when we do this know this mantra we do, Natatra Suryo Bhati Chandra Tarakam. There, when we usually that beautifully in the temples we use that mantra when we light, when we wave the light. Because especially when we use the camphor. Now camphor is of the nature of resolving. The camphor symbolizes the shastram. The camphor light. The light, the flame symbolizes the camphor symbolizes the pramanam. The flame is the vritti jnanam. It resolves. Pramanam vritti jnanam resolves. It shows Bhagavan, Bhagavan who symbolizes the Atma. And it resolves. You heard about it? Why camphor is used? It resolves. Vritti jnanam. Tasmat pratishedha vijnana pramana vyapara samakale eva atmani adhyaropita antapragnyatvadi anarthanivritti iti siddham. Therefore, what is now arrived at now? What is the conclusion arrived at here? Pratishedha vijnana pramana vyapara samakale eva. Simultaneously, at the time of the resolution of the negation of the falsely superimposed attributes itself, all the so when the pramanam is operated simultaneously, the resolution of all the attributes happens. All the falsely imposed attributes become negated. That is the conclusion. They are not afterwards. Operation of, see when eyes are used, the seeing happens simultaneously. There is no, not afterwards. First, I open my eyes, I use my eyes, then I see. Not sequential, there's not sequential action. So rising of knowledge, operation of pramanam are not two actions, two functions, simultaneous. Once the pramanam is operated, then it should result in the negation of the falsely superimposed attributes upon the Atma. This tasmat pratishedha vijnana pramana vyapara samakale eva. At the time of the operation of the means of knowledge in the last line. At the time of the operation of this pramanam, the means of knowledge, in the form of the method of negation itself, at the time of the operation of the means of knowledge in the form of the method of negation itself, all the superimposed falsely superimposed attributes upon the Atma such as the waker, dreamer, etc. become negated. The removal of the false notions happens simultaneously at the time of the operation of the pramanam. Especially in the form of the method of negation. This is the conclusion. Which means one does not need to do two things here. All that we need to do is use the pramanam, appropriate pramanam, use it appropriately. That is enough. Then pramanam's job is to help you discern the truth. Negate the unwanted superimposed ideas and notions and thoughts. One, the unwanted, undesirable, the erroneous attributes become negated, then there is the vritti rises. Vritti rises, simultaneously the vritti becomes illumined by the consciousness. Simultaneously there is the vastu comes to light. In the sense, there is knowledge. This is how it's going to be. Only now, in page 333, only now we come to the, he is going to begin his commentary on the as I'm talking to you, my ears get blocked. That's why I had to, I had to repeat sometimes to hear myself. Nantapragyamiti tajasa pratishedaha. Now he begins his commentary on mantra's words. Na antapragyam iti tajasa pratishedaha. He says, Nantav pragyam, that one word, what does it do? There is negation of the Atma being the sleep, dreamer. Atma being the Tejasa is negated. Definitely Atma is not the dreamer. Of course, there cannot be dreamer. Who is the dreamer then? The dreamer status, the dreamer attribute belongs to the Ahankara. But now, Atma is looked upon as the dreamer. The Ahankara, the mind also enjoys the status of being the dreamer because of the blessing of the Atma. No doubt. But Atma by itself is free from being the dreamer. Therefore, Atma is not the dreamer. That is, the Taijasa Pratishedaha. Bahish pragyam iti vishva pratishedaha. So bahish na bahish pragyam. That second word of the mantra presents the negation of the status of being the vishvaha. Negation of the status of being the vishva. Again, superimposition of the attribute of vishva upon the atma. Pratishedaha, Vishwa Pratishedaha, Na Ubhayata Pragyam Iti, Jagrat Swapnayoho, Antralavasta Pratishedaha. So again, Na Ubhayata Pragyam, that also negates. There's a negation of any awareness, any status obtaining any experience happening in between the waking and the dream states. Any experience, any possible experience that can happen in between dream and the waking. So that experiencer obtaining Atma is not that experiencer also. Na prajnana ghanam iti susuptyavastha pratishedaha. Susupta avastha pratishedaha. Na prajnana ghanam iti. Na prajnana ghanam, that word, there's a presence, the negation of the Atma being sleeper. the status of being a sleeper, superimposed upon the Atma, negated by that word, na prajnanaganam. It means, bija bhava aviveka rupatvat. Because, let me make it very clear. See, when we say Atma is a sleeper, who is the sleeper? Mind is the sleeper. Why do you say mind is the sleeper? Because bija bhava aviveka rupatvat. There is no discrimination, there is no the subject object knowledge. There is no discrimination understanding subject and object. And there is a seed of ignorance. So Atma does not have ignorance. I'll be very careful here. Atma does not have ignorance. Atma is free from ignorance. Atma is only pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Atma is of the nature of pure consciousness. Atma does not have ignorance. Ignorance is also mithya. Knowledge is also mithya. We must remember that. If knowledge is mithya, knowledge and ignorance are opposed to each other. Vritti jnanam and ignorance are opposed to each other. See, you must remember, as I told sometime back, ignorance is vritti jnana pratyogi. Remember? But here, ignorance is not pratyogi, atma pratyogi. No way. Ignorance is also atma. Ignorance doesn't exist outside of Atma. Ignorance is non-separate from Atma. Just as knowledge is non-separate from Atma, ignorance is also non-separate from Atma. And it's ignorance and knowledge is opposed to each other are Atma, but both are mithya. Ignorance is also mithya, knowledge also is mithya. Therefore, Atma does not have mithya and satya. Mithya. Anything mithya. Atma is in the form of mithya. Atma does not have mithya attributes. Atma alone is in the form of vritti jnanam. Atma alone is in the form of mithya ignorance also. Mithya vritti jnanam also is ish atma. Ignorance also is atma. But atma does not have ignorance. Atma is of the nature of pure knowledge. Therefore, it is said, bija abhava aviveka rupatvat. Na pragyam iti. Bija, bija bhava means the form of seed of ignorance. So here the power of knowing is in the form of seed of ignorance, an unmanifested condition. With reference to Ishvara we say maya, that is total power. But here this ignorance is cause of seed of samsara. But the ignorance which in the form of seed, that is not known. Aivek rupatva. There's no, is in the form of lack of discrimination. Ignorance is there in the form of the lack of understanding of subject and object, etc. The deep state. Therefore, that is why I was explained here. Atma has no ignorance. Whereas, there is total ignorance in deep sleep state. Who has the total ignorance then? The total ignorance is the attribute of the mind. This ahankara or the mind alone has this total ignorance, which is in the form of the seed. The seed means that which alone is becomes later on. Cause samsara again to wake up to exhaust part of the karma. Isn't it? So that ignorance is there. Again that ignorance has to undergo change. Then partial knowledge arises. Becomes the cause of samsara. Here every day. Isn't it? So that seed is Atma. Atma does not have that seed. See, the ignorance in the form of a seed which is like the seed in the form of not being able to distinguish the knower, the known, etc. Again, nothing is differentiated also. Leave it on. Now we are not talking about Ishvara. Ishvara has no problem. Now we are talking about individual only. Bija bhava aviveka rupatvat. Okay. So this so na prajnanaganam presents the negation of the sleeper status having the total ignorance, the seed of samsara in the form of non-recognizing anything is negated by that word. Present the negation of Atma being the sleeper with ignorance. The seed of samsara. Na prajnam. Okay. Now, it's not a, what about prajnam? Any knowledge also. Prajnam is all knowledge. All manifested knowledge. All manifest knowledge is what? Prajnam. Na prajnam. Atma is not all manifest knowledge is also. Atma is in the form of all forms of manifestations of knowledge. Any manifestation of knowledge is Atma only. But Atma is not any of the manifestations of knowledge. What is knowledge? Any knowledge is Atma. Is Atma manifested knowledge? No. Atma is not manifested knowledge. Atma is source. Atma is of the nature of pure knowledge. The source of all forms of manifestations of knowledge. But Atma is not the manifested knowledge. Not a single piece or all also. So, na prajnam. She says, yugapate sarva vishaya prajnatrutta pratishedaha. Very nice. Na prajnam is the word which presents the negation of Atma having the status of being the knower of all objects simultaneously. This is the correct translation of the sentence. Na prajnam is a word which presents the negation of Atma having the status of being the knower of all the objects simultaneously. Very important. This is, you know why you have to, what you have to understand from here? Okay, the only knower is Atma in all the minds. There is no second knower other than the Atma. The knower in you, knower in him, knower in her, knower in me, knower in anybody, or the knower obtained in all the minds is only Atma. Does it mean the all knowledge, knowledge of all objects simultaneously. Atma has his status of being the knower of all objects simultaneously. That knower? No. Atma is not the knower. Not the knower of one or all objects. Simultaneously or not. Atma is not the knower. The knower is qualification attributed to the Atma. Atma is not the knower. The standpoint of Atma, Atma is not the knower. So here, Yugapat Sarva Vishaya Prajnatrutva Pratishedha. Yugapat Sarva Vishaya Prajnatrutva Pratishedha. It presents the negation of Atma being the knower of Pramata of all objects simultaneously. Na prajnam iti achaitanya pratishedaha. So na prajnam. So na aprajnam. Break it. Na aprajnam. Not prajnam, not aprajnam also. Na prajnam, not aprajnam also. So prajnam, we say Atma is prajnam, say the Atma is given the, gained the, some attribute superimposed, knower status. The status of being the knower of all objects simultaneously is at superimposed upon Atma. That superimposition is negated. But na aprajnam presents the negation of Atma being not anything conscious also. Anything inert. Achaitanya pratishedaha. So Atma is not anything insentient, inert. Then the question comes. Katham punaha antaprajnyatvadinam atmani gamyamananam. Rajvado sarpadivat pratishedad asatvam gamyate iti uchyate. So having presented this, he is going to explain now how this negation works. We are going to understand that later on. So the main important the teaching that we have until now is definitely pramanam works. Pramanam must be operated. And the pramanam is in the form of the method of negation. And this mantra itself is a pramanam, which is in the form of method of negation. Every word is actually a word which negates what states what Atma is not. And once the pramanam is operated, definitely the unwanted, undesirable, the falsely superimposed attributes, duality becomes negated, then what is there is only vastu. All these superimposes alone are now covering the Atma. When they are negated, pramanam's job is only to negate what Atma is not. When what cannot be negated is Atma, then Atma alone is there. Then the vritti pertaining to the Atma rises. When the vritti rises, that's all. Pramanam's job is over. Pramanam will resolve. Pramanam also will disappear. Then immediately, simultaneously, consciousness being already there, it brings the vritti to light, which is Atma Jnanam. Again, another important thing I have to tell you. This Atma Jnanam is not Pratyaksha Jnanam. It is not Paroksha Jnanam also. Pratyaksha Jnanam is direct knowledge. Paroksha, before I go to this, I should tell this. Pratyaksha Jnanam is direct knowledge. Paroksha Jnanam is indirect knowledge. Pratyaksha Jnanam is also of an object only. Paroksha Jnanam also must be of an object only. Only of an object. So words can create, generate Paroksha Jnanam. Any description can help us understand things, and which understanding is what? Indirect knowledge. Suppose description of this place, Bahamas, this ashram in Bahamas. If I go and tell people who have not come here, of course they can Google and say that's a different thing. But still, something more what they cannot see in the Google also. So then people have Paroksha Jnanam of this place, indirect knowledge of the place. So words can always give indirect knowledge of the objects. Anyway, Pratyaksha Jnanam, Paroksha Jnanam can be only of the objects. But here Atma is not an object. Atma is not a subject also. Atma is the very swarupam of the subject or an object. But Atma has to be arrived at, Atma is arrived at only as the swarupam of the subject knower. Therefore, when this pramanam is operated, when the false attributes are negated, duality, the false superimposed attributes become negated as mithya, falsified as mithya. And what is there shines means, then one sees that avastu, in the wake of the vastu is not an object. Vastu is the very swarupam of the pramata. Vastu, the reality, the chaitanyam, Turiya Chaitanyam, the pure consciousness happens to be the very swarupam of the pramata, the knower. Here, there's nothing in between. The I, the pramata, the knower, and the consciousness. Therefore, it is the immediate knowledge. Atma Jnanam is the aparoksha Jnanam. It is immediate knowledge. Because in the wake of this Jnanam, Atma is arrived at as the immediate truth, immediate self, as one's own self, as the very swarup of the pramata. I, the knower. Therefore, Atma Jnanam is Aparoksha Jnanam. Therefore, here also, for any Jnanam, Pramanam has to be operated. So this is the Pramanam. The Pramanam should result in that Jnanam. If Pramanam doesn't result, means either Pramanam is not operated well, or the Pramata's mind is not yet ready for the understanding, the teaching. So, Acharya's assurance earlier, that is the main thing. He talks about this mantra. This mantra just, negation is enough. Negation is enough. Negation is negation of what? Negation of what Atma is not is enough. Negation of all these attributes which are falsely superimposed upon the Atma is enough. For Atma to shine. For the pertinent vritti to rise and that vritti to for the atma to illumine that vritti so that we can have that which is atma jnanam, which is aparoksha jnanam. When not just something else happens, I understand what it is, what that is. When this jnanam happens, we don't say, I understand. Aham. I am the truth. Aham Atma Asmi. Aham Turiyam Chaitanyam Asmi. They're saying, I understand Atma Turiyam Chaitanyam. I, the self, am the Turiyam. This difference happens. So, there are people, great scholars, they're all not ordinary people of ordinary minds, amazing minds, all bhattas. Mimamsakas are great people. So even they have this view that something needs to after negation also something has to happen. Or after resolution of ignorance, not a bit liberal negation, after resolution of ignorance, for knowledge to take place, again pramanam has to operate, be there. Pramanam will not be there. When the resolution of ignorance happens, pramanam will disappear. Disappear in the sense what? Pramanam has served its purpose. It can't be there. So it need not be there to do something for the knowledge to rise. With reference to any object also, actually pramanam need not be there. Pramanam cannot do anything because pramanam does not bring anything new there. Already the vritti is there. Pramanam contributes to rising of the vritti alone. Then consciousness being already there, it illumines the vritti. Therefore, knowledge is already there. If consciousness is not, that's a different problem, isn't it? No knowledge possible at all. There will be only ignorance. Because consciousness is there, vritti shines. But what does the pramanam have to do? So pramanam does not create the knowledge, produce the knowledge. Pramanam's function is only in resolving the ignorance by contributing for the rising of appropriate vritti. So now all our efforts are only in having the rising of the appropriate vritti. The appropriate vritti has to take place, means understanding has to happen. The negation must happen. In spite of losing all the time, still it's not that easy to become objective towards the anatma. Cognitively, that's why constant contemplation. Why constantly one must be in contemplation? But gradually, you know, the resolution happens. Cognitive resolution must happen. It's not physical. Resolution is not physical, it is cognitive. One has to resolve everything cognitively. So it has to be ascertained. That is why Nididhyasanam, Shravanam itself should help you understand. Here in the class itself, we understand. You can't say no. Understanding should happen in the class itself. Then again, when we are thinking all the time, that is Mananam. So repeatedly dwelling upon it should help us. So, because all efforts are for the appropriate vritti to rise. Vritti rises, it's enough. Vritti will shine because already there is all illumining consciousness. That is why antakkana shuddhi is given importance as well. If for the vritti to rise, all these unwanted, the distractions make the mind grass. Subtle understanding will not happen. all these emotions, no? Simple impurities. We'll obstruct our mind from becoming subtle. Therefore, it's not easy for the vritti to rise. From the gross mind, subtle vrittis cannot rise. That is why karma yoga is emphasized initially to convert the gross mind to subtle mind. Tomorrow is Saturday, so no class. So we'll have a class on Sunday. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate.